Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. As I say each Sunday, this is the house that God has provided for us to come and to worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Pearl said Howard wasn't feeling well, and that's why he was not here today. I just wondered if he saw the title of the sermon and didn't want to get tickled making fun of me about the preaching donkey. But we do hope that Howard will be feeling better. Our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 38, and that's page 1040 in the Bible in the pew rack if you don't have your own. I invite you to turn to that. This is a scripture passage that is quite often used for a Palm Sunday sermon. But please follow along in your Bible as I read. Luke 19, 29 through 38. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word." In this portion of scripture, our text this morning, the colt or young donkey is the focal point of that whole section. Of course, we know Jesus is the most important character in that passage, but the donkey takes up a great portion and is an integral part of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem before Palm Sunday. You know, the first mention of the donkey in the Bible is in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, where it states that Abraham saddled his donkey for the trip to Moriah. Abraham was traveling to Moriah, where he intended to sacrifice his one and only son, according to the instructions of God. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 21, we find the story of Balaam's donkey. This donkey saw an angel of the Lord standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And on the first occasion when he saw him, he veered off the path into the field, and Balaam beat him because he didn't stay on the path. Balaam could not see the angel. Sometimes so-called dumb animals have more spiritual perception than some people. On the second occasion, they were going through a narrow path, and the donkey squeezed up or shuffled up against one side of the pass and crushed Balaam's foot. And Balaam beat him again. And on the third occasion, when the donkey could not get by, could not veer off the road, he merely laid down instead of going toward the angel. And Balaam beat him again. Three times the donkey saved him from the threatening angel, and three times Balaam beat him. Finally, God opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey spoke to Balaam and complained about his treatment, and Balaam was taught a valuable lesson through the donkey. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14, we are admonished not to work our donkey on the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 22:10 states, "Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together." Judges 5:10 mentions that the rich chieftains and merchants rode white donkeys. And this is a reference from the Song of Deborah. 1 Samuel 9:3 teaches that Saul went out looking for donkeys of his father's that were lost. And during his search, he encountered Samuel, who anointed him king over Israel. We read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this donkey, this dumb animal, preaches with his life. God has involved him in many, many incidences designed to teach us the God's commands and the instructions he would have for us. So let us examine some of the attributes and characteristics about the donkey to learn more about the messages he presents. First, the appearance of the donkey. There is nothing dignified about a donkey. When viewing the donkey from any angle, it does not have what man calls presence, which is a stately or distinguished bearing. A donkey just does not have it. It's a funny-looking animal, seems to be stuck together at the last minute. Yet the Lord chose to employ a donkey over a beautiful stallion when teaching us many of the lessons in His Word. And at the time and the places in the Bible when it was written about a donkey, the donkey was the symbol of peace, a true Jewish hero. Second, there's the nature of the donkey. I'm sure no one's ever told you you're as stubborn as a donkey. I've had it said to me maybe once, occasionally. But a donkey is awkward. A donkey is obstinate. Yet the Lord saw value in the donkey. And whenever Christ teaches, He dignifies whatever He touches, whether it be a donkey or the vilest of sinners. No matter how despised a person or a creature may be, Jesus has a use for him or her. There are many different colored donkeys. There are domesticated donkeys. There are wild donkeys. And Jesus and the authors of the Bible referred to them from time to time. Just as Jesus used donkeys in his teaching, so he uses all types of people. Jesus uses ordinary people. The 12 original disciples were common men. Fishermen. Tax collectors. Yet Jesus chose them to be his apostles. He chose them as the first to be sent out to preach the gospel. He didn't go to the synagogues and the temples and the centers of education and choose the most learned. He chose common, ordinary people. He uses uneducated people. John Bunyan was a tinker. Now, a tinker is an itinerant mender of kitchen utensils. Have you ever heard the phrase tinker's dam? Well, that was a little piece of metal used to prepare or dam up a pot used in the kitchen to keep the water from coming out. John Bunyan, that was his trade, and God called him and used him, and he became a preacher and an author and wrote Pilgrim's Progress, which many of you have read and many of us were required to read in one literature course or another. William Carey was a shoemaker who became a minister and a missionary to India. Perhaps his most famous sermon was entitled, "Expect Great Things from God, Do Great Things for God." William Booth was a pawnbroker's assistant who became a pastor and founded the Salvation Army. So Jesus uses these common people, these uneducated people, and Jesus uses handicapped people. George Whitefield was so cross-eyed that he had a very grotesque face when he squinted in order to be able to read the words on the written page. But he was an extraordinary pastor who delivered sermons to ten and twenty thousand people at the time in the city of London. Fanny Crosby was blinded by an incompetent doctor at the age of 6 weeks, and she went on to become a songwriter and authored 8,000 songs. Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine, is one of hers. I looked in our hymnal, and she has 17 hymns in our Baptist hymnal, and I didn't see any other composer or author that had as many. And then there was Joni Erickson Tada, who dove into a shallow lake and became a quadriplegic. She is a Christian author, living today, and is an advocate for disabilities. Jesus used these people. Jesus uses obscure people. There was a farm laborer that no one knows his name who saved 6-year-old John Wesley from drowning. John Wesley became the founder of the Methodist Church. As our text teaches us, Jesus uses the young. He used the colt, the foal of a donkey, to make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He used David, a young boy, to slay a giant, to spread the message about his love and concern for his people. He used the little boy with the fish and the bread to feed the multitude. Jesus uses each and every person that is willing to be used. Third, we look at the donkey's attitude. And even though a donkey is known for being stubborn, we see in our text this morning something quite different. In verse 30, we see that the donkey was willing and available to be used. The disciples went there, and he was there. The donkey was submissive, number one, to his owner because he was tied up. Number two, to the disciples because he went with them. And number three, to Jesus because he allowed Jesus to ride him. And the donkey was faithful. He carried Jesus on the 2-mile trip from Bethany to Jerusalem, not once faltering, in spite of the crowds and in spite of having Jesus upon his back. The donkey is a useful animal. He is known as the beast of burden. Job had 500 donkeys. Are we not called upon to bear the burdens of the Lord just as the donkey? Verse 34 states, the Lord needed the donkey and he used it. The donkey was sure-footed. He was able to traverse the roughest terrain. He can carry supplies. He can pull simple plows and small carts and grind corn. There's a pastor in India, Pastor Sinai Raj, who wrote the following about his service to the Lord. And I want you to listen carefully. He wrote, I am a part of the fellowship of the unshamed. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus. I shall not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I do not have to be right. I do not have to be first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I shall not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I shall not give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I have a great hope of His coming back, so I preach until all know and work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me, for my banner flies high and clear. These words of Pastor Sinai Raj are, I think, apropos when discussing the donkeys that God utilized in the Bible and teaches us about. It's amazing the things that we can learn from these beast of burdens. Like a donkey, we may not be much to look at. Our nature may be obstinate. Our usefulness may appear of no consequence to anyone. But always remember, the Lord has the need of you and me. And if that doesn't make you rejoice and be happy, I don't know what will. And always remember that whatever God touches, He dignifies. So regardless of the life you've led to this point, regardless of the sins you may have committed, regardless of the skeletons you may have in your closet, Jesus can use you. Jesus can take all of that baggage and lift it from you and give you a hope and a promise and offer you eternal life. If you are a believer, If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but yet feel like that recently you have been giving in to the enemy, you have been sitting down to negotiate with the evil one, you have been in that pool of popularity and it kind of made you feel good and you kind of want to stay there where people idolize you and look up to you. Friends, you need to remind yourself of the donkey and the fact that Jesus used him regardless of the fact that it was not attractive, not maybe of good disposition all the time. But God uses each and every one of us and wants to use each and every one of us and wants us to love him and to follow him. So this morning, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want that gift of eternal life, regardless of what your past has been, regardless of what you did last year or last night, all you have to do to accept Christ is to confess your sins, to come forward to this altar and say, I've decided to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We'll rejoice with you. We'll pray for you. And if you would like to make application for membership here at Ephesus, we'd be glad to talk with you about what the next step will be.